Soriel top 10. Yep. And this is a true top 10. So my Soriel top 10 list has 43 songs on it. This is actually in the top 10.
What is it?
What?
What was that? What do you mean, what?
You didn't recognize that?
No, not at all, man. What was that?
Fleetwood Mac, Rhiannon?
No. What does that mean?
It's a person's name, Rhiannon.
Oh, like Rihanna?
Yeah, kind of. Rhiannon.
Oh, Rhiannon. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I know Rihanna.
Wait, Saad, you've heard it, right?
I have to admit, not before I did the show. Oh. I mean,
Scott,
obviously, you've
please,
done it.
Save me.
What? Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay, yeah. So just like last week, you had a Bob Seger song, and I've got a Fleetwood song on my top 10, but it's not Rihanna. It's The Chain.
Ah, yeah, that's also a good one. So we talked about this. We're going to do it. I promise you we're going to do it. This is a complete sidebar from the show. We are going to, each one of us, myself, Scott, Kareem, Brad, who am I leaving out?
You got everybody.
That's it. All right. We're going to make our top 10 favorite songs available on our Facebook page, and it'll cost you $1 to download it, and the entire sum of money, massive sums of money, is going to go to charity, every single penny of it. So we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So what I told the panel is between now and after July 4th weekend, you got to come up with your true top 10 list. Because
dude, that's tough, man.
People want to hear it. People want to know.
That's so
people
tough.
Want to know. So that
will you be able to pare down your 43 to 10?
That's going to be tough.
I don't think he will.
That's going to be tough. I mean, yeah, it's going to be tough.
I agree.
All right, so back to Inside Sports Medicine. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Genoval. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, doctors. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic.
Good. Can you
man,
tell what
you?
Shirt I'm wearing today?
I see the soccer shirt. I like the colors. I like the colors. But I'm going to go with Dr. Ballard today. I like his shirt. But yours is, I can see me wearing some, you know, nice shorts, like I'm going to the golf to ride in the cart.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look good. You look great. Are you going to play golf this weekend?
I am not. This weekend? Yeah, I'm playing tomorrow, but not today.
Okay. Well, I need you to be safe out there because it's a little, you know, people are not wearing their masks.
It's dicey.
I have two things. I want to thank you guys because you guys were talking about positioning the time I called when it came to my foot and my the neuropathy. So I went to the doctor. I went to see Dr. Shaw. He's in my network of UT Southwest, which I wanted to come to you guys, but you know how that goes.
That's all right. No worries.
So I found out that I have a high-grade cartilage loss of a weight-bearing portion. Blah, 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 all the medical stuff. And it was a 1.1 over 0 centimeter intermediate, osteochondrial injury.
Are you reading the report? Or do you know this right off the top of your head?
No, I'm reading the report. I studied it because I wanted to thank you guys because what happened was 2 years ago, I was at my son's graduation, and I wasn't fully healed. And transplant patients suffer from orthostatic hypertension.
Yep.
I don't. For those who don't know, which you guys know, it's we stand up too fast, we'll pass out because mm-hmm. of. Yeah. So I passed out and hit my face on the wall. I got 7 stitches.
Wow.
But in the midst of that, my friend told me that my legs, because I asked him what was my positioning, because my doctor said the only way this could happen is blunt force trauma. So come to find out, my body fell on top of my knee. So I've been living with this since 2018 and had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you were, I remember the phone call too. So you were thinking it was a neuropathy, and what we told you is that it doesn't sound like it. Get it looked at.
Yes.
So what happens? Actually, this is a good phone call because it leads into what we were going to talk about today anyway. We discussed it in a pre-production meeting. So all joints, whether it's a knee or an ankle or a finger or a shoulder, where the bones come together, there is a cap of cartilage that covers the bone so that the bones don't rub. So this cap of cartilage, if you've eaten a chicken leg or a chicken wing, you've seen that white cap on the end of the bone. Well, humans have that white cap as well. With time, if you have a genetic predisposition or if you have trauma or whatever, that cartilage cap wears out and the bones start rubbing and you hear patients talk about bone on bone. I often have patients come into the office and say, yep, I'm told that I've got bone on bone in my knee and whatever, whatever. Well, but that also happens in the younger age group with an acute traumatic event. So if you pass out, hit your knee, and you knock off a piece of cartilage, the bone is exposed. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the size of the lesion and how much bone is exposed. We don't have a real good fix for that because we can't put that cartilage back on and have it stick. Now, having said that, we're really fortunate at Texas Sports Medicine that Kareem Mayer is in our practice because he's really an expert in this cartilage restoration thing. Mm-hmm. And, there's some fancy things that can be done where you take a plug of bone from another part of the knee that has cartilage attached to it and put the plug in where the lesion is. Or if you really, really want to get fancy, you find a donor cadaver and get the same exact size piece of bone that's missing and plug that in. It's pretty cool stuff, but it has to be a big enough lesion where it's worth all of this.
Right. And that the problem is bothering you enough.
Exactly.
To go through it. Because that's no small deal. That's no small surgery.
It's not a small procedure. It's probably a couple of hours, but there's rehab involved and it's ridiculously expensive. So a lot of insurance companies don't cover it. The allograft itself is like $14,000. So, it's an expensive procedure, but it is available. And I will tell you that 10 years ago, we didn't have this. Mm. So your problem is not new. We've had cartilage issues for centuries. Your problem is not new. But there are now some solutions that, there's some talk about, stem cells, and there's talk about microfracture surgery, which
that's what they want to do. Mm. A stem cell. They want to, Dr. Shaw, UT Southwest, I'm a transplant patient.
Right.
They want to do stem cells, but I will be laid up for 6 weeks, not being able, you guys know the procedure.
Yeah.
I told him, I talked to you, I listened to you guys, and he's like, you did right. And I just want to thank you guys because, I know a lot of times, people might not listen, especially when it comes to certain things. But if I hadn't asked the question, I don't think that it would have been the answer.
Correct.
I would have just been living with this, thinking it was something else. Now, I do have the positioning nerve pinch impingement,
right,
and that's from the positioning of the surgery being down so long.
But that's a different different animal.
That's a whole different. But I can live with it, Doc. I've been living with it for this long.
Right.
They gave me the injection because I always follow Dr. Ballard on Facebook. So I was watching it, and I said, hey, what about injections? So I had to go through my team, and the next thing you know, he said, look, we're not going to give you the one with NSAIDs. We're just going to give you lidocaine and the steroid. And he said, this is going to hurt. And I said, I don't think so, Doc. And it was just like, it didn't even hurt.
Yeah.
Well, it was really smooth.
I'm surprised by that because it usually does not hurt. People are scared to death of a cortisone shot until they have one, and they say, well, that wasn't that bad.
Nearly as bad as I thought.
But one thing I do want to add, since you brought up the stem cell thing. So Scott and I, and hopefully Scott's still on the phone, we're pretty active in the stem cell world in that, we monitor it very closely because my personal belief is that many medical problems will eventually be addressed with stem cell manipulation, eventually. But right now, some of them can be addressed already, even though we don't know a lot about it. But the stem cells that seem to work best happen to be your own.
Yes, that's what they want to use.
Good. Yeah, I just didn't want you to be getting a $12,000 bottle of stem cells from off the shelf somewhere because those
No. I think the heart surgery, they are pretty invested in me. I do believe, but I truly want to thank you guys. I know you have other callers.
Yep.
I just thank you guys so much. I listen every – it is very informative. Keep doing what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You know what my shirt says?
No.
All I can see is EL.
Oh, it says El Jefe.
I don't know what that means.
The boss.
No. What?
The boss.
Jefe, chief.
What?
Chief.
All right. Well,
say that again.
Can't
Scott.
Hear you. Spell it, Scott.
Chief.
Yeah, chief.
Like, chief.
Yeah, like chief.
Chief. Yeah.
I got this for Father's Day, so the kids got this for me to identify who I was in the house. I guess
it looks good.
You have to be reminded.
So Scott, I threw your name out there about the stem cell thing. Are you guys still doing the research on stem cells in the spine?
We finished two FDA studies. We're about to start another one. It's still the data hasn't cooked long enough to give a definitive answer, but the studies are going on. So yes, we're about to start our third stem cell study.
Excellent.
Just regeneration.
Well, look, we need places like Texas Back Institute doing these studies because that's how we gather enough data that says, hey, this works or this doesn't work. And you know, there's a lot of people that just throw out that term, oh, stem cells, but there's absolutely no science behind what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you talk about amniotic stem cells, which is an oxymoron because there's no stem cells in the amniotic fluid, and it's right. So I'm glad that you're on your third study. Please share it with us and let Inside Sports Medicine be the first.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll break it here first.
So do you have a gut feel for how is it a double blind study where you don't know who got what?
I do not know who got what.
Wow. Those are the best.
That'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think, you know, we're still probably a half decade or a decade away from stem cells being prime time for low back disc degeneration. I think it's still really early, and I think the right cocktail perhaps has not been elucidated.
So one of the things that I've mentioned earlier with this last call is that anywhere that joints come together, there is cartilage, and in the sports medicine world, cartilage issues are a huge problem.
Big time.
Huge problem. Because we just don't have a really good answer for it. In the spine world, Scott, the only cartilage that I can think of is in the little facet joints. And me personally, I have facet joint arthritis. And so on a few x-rays, it kind of almost looks bone on bone. Do you guys have an answer for that problem that we might be able to use?
So, you know, it's fascinating because we've also participated in studies doing facet joint replacements.
What?
You know, that's
crazy. Yeah, so there is that technology out there. Again, it's not, some people feel it's ready for prime time. I don't, because, you know, you could think of your spine as a three-legged stool. You've got the disc in front and the facet joints in the back. And when one goes bad, the other goes bad. And there's arguments over which goes bad first. You know, what's that, the chicken or the egg argument? But, you know, if you start to lose disc height, you put more pressure on the facets, you get some facet joint arthritis, for lack of a better term. You know, right now the treatment is just kind of palliative, and it's the stuff that we do at TBI. Mel does it at your practice. It's the injections, the rhizotomies, things like that for facet pain. And last, you know, unfortunately, you know, last ditch effort would be some type of reconstructive surgery, either artificial disc or a fusion.
Well, so for those people who don't know, a facet joint's relatively small, and there's two of them. They're in the very farthest part back of your back. And
they take a lot of stress,
but I mean, a facet joint is essentially the size of a quarter. Are you telling me there's a replacement for that?
I mean, not even a
quarter. There's some technology. I mean, but they're a replacement for finger,
true.
Well, but again, it's such a complex structure, and to think that you're only having facet problems and the rest of the segment's okay is just generally speaking not true.
Yeah. All right. Well, I learned something.
That's right. I've never heard of a facet replacement. That's awesome.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a case that I did yesterday that I've never had to do before.
Never?
And the key word, never had to do before until yesterday.
Wow.
Inside Sports Medicine, Soriel, Ballard's, Blumenthal, Sod's on the other side of the glass, coming right back.